You know, we are within a month of the bicentennial, the celebration of 250 years of this wonderful American experience. And while there has been some ugly bumps along the way, I think there's one thing that we can look at this point in time and say, you know, we are always striving for more. We're always striving for better. And no matter what time in history, you do find those bumps along the way. But this experiment that we continue to be on continues to be a strong one and an exciting one as we get ready to celebrate 250 years. And of course, that in that span of time, we've had such wonderful leaders that have stood for something. And one of those leaders is, of course, right here from the state of Michigan and President Gerald Ford. And there are some unbelievable stories about Gerald Ford that I cannot wait to get into with Dr. Muriel Loki, who is the supervisory curator at the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum. Doc, good morning. It's great to talk with you.
Great. It's great to be here. Thank you.
One of the things that I find most fascinating about Gerald Ford, and really it was the thing for me as a 37-year-old loves history that really got me looking into his life and what he did outside of everything that happened with President Nixon, was a story that a guy I actually know, he made this documentary, and it was called Black and Blue, the story of Gerald Ford and Willis Ward. Willis Ward played on the University of Michigan football team with Gerald Ford, and you go back to 1934, and they were getting ready to play a game against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And they would not play if Willis Ward was going to be in the game. So Willis Ward got benched, and Gerald Ford threatened to quit the team, not play in that game. But Willis Ward, who handled the situation unbelievably, had Gerald Ford play. And it showed me the type of man that Gerald Ford was and what he stood for all the way back in the early 30s.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that experience was shaped by his experience growing up in Grand Rapids. You know, his high school experience and all the way forward. And I think coming into the presidency, he was really determined that he would, you know, continue to be a man of integrity. He would help restore trust to the presidency and help the nation heal from the wounds of Watergate and the Vietnam War and the different crises that the nation had faced.
Mm. But he wasn't always Gerald Ford, was he? He was given a different name at birth and then adopted that later on.
Yeah, so when he was born Leslie Lynch King Jr. His mother was married to Leslie Lynch King Sr. But when he was just a few months old, his mother left his biological father because he was violent. And so he took the really brave and courageous and unusual decision in the 1910s to leave her husband. She and her infant son, who was called Junior or Junie, moved to Grand Rapids, where she met Gerald Ford Sr. And so he went from being Junior King to Junior Ford. And then he eventually took his stepfather's name.
Mm. And of course, you fast forward, he spent many years as a lawmaker, but he never actually won any sort of national election. He became the vice president after Spiro Agnew resigned, and then obviously president once Richard Nixon resigned as well amongst the Watergate scandal. And he delivered, among all of the presidents in history, one of the lines that I remember the most, and that was, "Our long national nightmare is over." And then he took the step even further to pardon Nixon at a time when that was not politically advantageous to him. And many, I'm sure you would be able to provide some light on this, that may have cost him the next election. But at a time when there was great suffering in the country from a political perspective, he was the right man at the right time to set the train back on the tracks going in the proper direction.
Yeah, I think he went into the presidency very aware, you know, as you mentioned, that he had not been elected to the vice presidency or the presidency. So he recognized that he didn't necessarily have a mandate from the people to be president. But again, as I mentioned, he was really determined to help the country heal. So he took as his mandate this idea of helping restore trust to the presidency. He talks again and again about helping to bind the nation's wounds and helping the country heal. He felt very strongly that one way to do this was to pardon Richard Nixon rather than having kind of a drawn out trial and continuing to rehash what had happened in Watergate. He felt it was really important for the country to be able to move on. So he, you know, did a lot of research. He consulted with aides and his attorneys and things like that to try to decide whether or not this was the right thing to do. But he felt very strongly that helping the country move on was important, and that pardoning Nixon was a way to do that, helping the country move on from Watergate. And he definitely did recognize that it might hurt his chances of running for election in 1976. People in his own party, his good friend Tip O'Neill, Democrat mm-hmm. Tip O'Neill, also warned him that it was going to hurt his election chances. But he felt like it was more important to try to face the moment in that time.
And that almost seems completely foreign nowadays, that would be the type of mindset. And again, we've had leaders like that in our past in 250 years. But at such a time of a national controversy and all of the investigations that were being done at that time, again, it's a character check on somebody like Ford.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really what defines his presidency, is striving to do what is right for the country rather than, any specific personal gain. Mm.
How did these events in his life, whether it was his time at the University of Michigan or when he, you know, the ship that he was on in World War II almost went down, how did these events shape his life?
Well, I think, you know, as with anyone, all of his life experiences kind of help, you know, build him up to the person that he is. I know, for example, his experiences in World War II really shaped how he approached his role in politics. He had gone into World War II being a fairly committed isolationist, believing that the United States should not be involved on the world stage. But his experiences in the war really changed his perspective there. So when he gets back to Grand Rapids in 1946 after the war, he decides that he's going to run for Congress to upset the local Republican representative, Bartell Jonkman, who was an isolationist. And Ford really ran on this platform of internationalism and having the U.S. more involved on the world stage. And so then that leads to his 25-year career in Congress. I think these experiences do help shape who he is as a person and also who he is as a politician.
What's a story that you think most people don't know about Gerald Ford that they should?
Let's see. Well, so one thing that I am pretty excited about right now is we, of course, are celebrating the semi-quincentennial by looking back on the bicentennial, which Ford was president for in 1976. So I think there's a lot of really fun stories that kind of helped shape that moment. One thing that's been on my mind a lot recently, because we just had an exhibit open here called Waltzing with the Queen, is there's a moment when President Ford and Queen Elizabeth are dancing in the White House as the Marine Corps band is playing. You know, he's in his tux and she's in her very elegant yellow gown, which we have on display here right now. And they're laughing in this video that you can see of the two of them dancing. And they're laughing because the Marine Corps band, as soon as they started dancing, the band started playing The Lady is a Tramp. It was just part of their set, and it wasn't, you know, planned or anything like that. But I think the fact that he is laughing and the Queen is laughing in this video really illustrates the humor that Ford brought to life and his presidency. He didn't necessarily take things seriously. He was a very humble person and, you know, recognized a good joke.
Yeah, no doubt. A good joke, certainly. Dr. Morrell Loki, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. We hope people get to the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum and all the great work that you guys do. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you got it. More coming up on JR Morning.